another glorious morning in Metro Detroit.
I didn't catch that.
Oh, I was just commenting on how it's just another glorious morning in Metro Detroit.
Shorts and flip-flop weather, as far as I'm concerned.
I pulled up yesterday at a gas station and just run inside, and guy pulls up, he gets out, he's wearing a t-shirt, that's it. T-shirt, tennis shoes, goes inside, comes out, and I'm like, okay, dude, I mean, I get it, but that ain't smart. So I hope he had warm gear in the car, because, yeah, you never know in this weather.
Yeah, that's just dumb. I mean, I'm not a jacket guy. The heaviest jacket I'll wear, and I've worn it once this year, is my Milwaukee heated coat, and I don't like wearing it because it's too warm. I'm just wearing a quarter zip today. But a t-shirt in this is just dumb. You're going to get cold. I don't care how tough you think you are.
Well, and the thing is, you know, if for any reason you had any kind of auto problem, you know, car problem, and, this temperature is here, let's not kid ourselves, this is downright dangerous. And, if you're gambling, you know, you're well, my car always starts and runs, and I have no problems with it, it should be just fine. Okay, you know, probably. But, boy, God help you if something happens to that car. Yeah, I know you got your phone, you can probably call somebody, you can be out there quick. And the heat won't dissipate out of the car completely, you know, within a few. So you got a little bit, but... Yeah, no monkeying around. I know when we were younger, you know, back in the 70s, we were running around. If it got to be this frigid, you know, you'd carry your winter gear, boots, everything in the car. Of course, we didn't have cell phones, you know, so if you broke down, there weren't as many places, you know. You could literally be stranded. And, of course, you know, we always had 2-3 foot of snow, too, so there were a lot of ways you could get stopped.
Back when I used to travel a lot for work, I'd always make sure I had not a survival bag, but I always kept an extra backpack in there with some miscellaneous supplies, extra clothes, hats, gloves, things like that, just in case I got stuck somewhere. And then Monday I went home, and that spider beam kept collapsing, so I went to go just pound a tea steak in my backyard and just pull the long wire as ton as I could. I was out there for maybe 5 minutes. By the time I came back inside, I couldn't even move my hands. They hurt so bad. So, it's really, like you said, it's nothing to mess around with when it's single digits or below.
Oh, yeah, serious stuff. So, hey, how is the new antenna working? Have you played around with it at all and see what you got?
I haven't bought anything yet. Everything I'm reading is a contradiction to the next review, so I don't know what I'm going to do. That long wire was working just fine, and now I have nowhere to put it up in. I was going to order one of those Rhone push-up masks, the 40-footers. I was like, oh, $200, perfect. You know, I'll anchor it in the yard, and my wife can deal with it. And then the shipping was $300, so I was like, if I'm going to spend $500 on an antenna, I'm just going to buy a nice vertical. So, no, I've not done anything yet. Super frustrating, and it's, you know, it's that time of year too where I can't even go outside and improvise something.
Yeah, that's the problem. The shipping on those things is astronomical. When I got mine, a friend of mine had a pickup truck, and he was on his way back from somewhere. I can't remember where he's coming back from, New York or something like that. So he wasn't terribly far from... God darn it, this Penske truck has got its emergency flashes on, so I get in the lane over, and he's cruising just fine, and my lane is sitting there driving, you know, 10 under. It's like, Jesus, H. Criminy. But what the hell is going on here, these ignorant people? No, so he dropped down and picked one up for me and brought it back. And, yeah, that's how you get one. There is a place in, Don told me about it. I think it's in Novi or something like that, out that way, that supposedly sells all that stuff. So if you can find that place, it's a place they specialize in television, antennas, and supplies and stuff. And if you could find it there, you'd save the freight, right? You'd have to go pick it up, but still.
NADVF, that's my plan. I'm going to look for distributors of Rhone in the area. I figure there's got to be somebody, or I've got to know someone, you know, in the area that can get their hands on this stuff and not pay freight, or not pay $300 freight, which is just absurd, but I guess that's what the UPS and FedEx carriers charge. But yeah, that's kind of where I left it. I gave up. I got a little frustrated and said, I'll deal with this later. And every time I turn on my radio, and I know the bands haven't been great, lots of noise, which I usually never have, but every time I turn on my radio, I'm just disappointed. But I figured for the money, the wire is the best way to go, and even if I got to spend a little bit more to get it, you know, installed and up appropriately, I think it's going to be worth it over a compromised vertical. Unless you have alternatives, I'm all for vertical just because the footprint, but then you got to deal with the radials, so it's really not saving me any space.
So I don't think I've made it a secret. I'm not a vertical fan. They are easy to deploy, easy to, you know, tote. They do have their place, but I'm just not a big fan. Now, having said that, if I could get a 43-foot, you know, vertical or even a vertical array, you know, I got a lot of property, and if I could get that up and get the radio sound, then, you know, that'd be great for DXing. But for the stuff, you know, stateside, as you said, and if you want to, especially if you want to do some local stuff, I don't know. I've never been real happy with the verticals. And they're noisy. Now, that won't be a problem for you. So, you know, there's that. But I found wires blow them away in almost every possible category. But, you know, their wires take that extra, you got to have a support, right? And, you know, now you could say, well, the, you know, the same distance, you know, the same thing I'm using the vertical, I could make that a support instead. You know, and sure, you can. And, you know, the vertical, the higher you get that wire, the better the wire will work. And that goes for vertical. Longer you get the vertical, better vertical will work, too. But verticals, unless you're going to put the ground wires down, you know, and I mean expensive, you know, just a couple, you know, like a counterpoise, that's going to be frustrating. I mean, they work, but I'm not a big fan. I like wires. And I like the resonant dipole. That's for me, that's the ticket right there. But, you know, everything else after that for me is a compromise. So, your mileage may vary. Hey, you know, on that Rhone mast, they do sell a freightable one, right, or a shippable one. I think it's 37 foot. It collapses into 8 foot long package. And it's specifically, I think it's the 37H or something like that. It's specifically made to be shipped instead of freight.
You and Dave pushed me into that same school of thought where I could do way more with a $150 resonant wire than I can with a $600 vertical. I was looking at that, I think it's 05 antennas or whatever. They've got a 43-foot vertical, but the install instructions, you know, they're saying like, there was, not that one specifically, but there was one at DXC, I can't remember which one it was. It might have been a Hustler 6BTV maybe. But they were saying the DX install instructions said like 40 vertical wires, or I'm sorry, 40 radio wires at like 60 inches or something, like an absurd amount of space that's going to need to take up and be buried, and I don't want to do that. But I'll try to find that. I was trying to find any supplier that wasn't going to charge me $200-$300 in freight. But I do know that there's like a 36-foot and a 40-foot. but I think I put the 36-foot in my cart at DIC, and it still said, like, $200 shipping. And I was like, Jesus, if I'm going to pay that, I'm just going to drive to Ohio and back. But, yeah, I need to find one of those. I think that'll be the ticket, and then I'll just sink a support into the ground and call it a day. And then I have a, you know, a legitimate mast versus the spider beam that super, super, super disappointed with. I've never played with one. I've heard good things about them, but I've never played with one, so no experience. I think I know the concept. They're just they're doing basically a beam in like an octagon shape with you know, lighter gauge wire, I guess. But they're light. You can get them up. They look goofy as hell, but I heard they work. I don't know. But yeah, look, you know, one, look for that place in Novi. I forget the name of it. I wish I could remember that, you know, that may have one. And then the other thing is there, you know, if you look at all the different masts, one of them's got a little different, like, numbering structure. You know, like it's the, you know, the 40M, the 30M, the 20M. And then you'll have this one that's like the, you know, the H37M. Or something like that. It's like got an oddball kind of a, it's got an oddball kind of naming, and that's the shippable one. That's its key. You're thinking, you know, why do they make this 37 one if they got a 40? And that's because that 37 footer could be dropped down in 8 foot, you know, sections and drop down and ship. So anyhow, keep that in mind, and when you're looking, so it's not really, you know, about the length, it's about that particular mast you can drop down into the shippable length. I think I found it at DXE. It's the Rhone 9H50. It's a 34.5-foot mast, and they charge $40 to ship it, so that's much more palatable, and I'm only giving up 6 feet. Right, that's the one. I knew it had a weird number. So that one could be shipped. You don't get the freight charges. I would still look at that place, try to find that place in Novi, see if you can identify that. It's somewhere out there, TV supplies, TV antennas, something like that. I think they're a Rhone dealer, and you know, you might be able to get the one you want and go pick it up yourself, and it'll be cheaper even than $40. Do you have one of these, or are you up into a tree?
I got two of them.
So I was looking at the ground stake that's got that, like, 18-inch stake on it, and it's a big square plate, and it says to be used with guying. Are you guying yours, or is that stake going to be sufficient since I'm just putting a wire up in it?
Oh, no, you're going to need somehow to hold that thing vertical. Mine's house bracketed. I've got two of them up against the house, and they're bracketed at, you know, down low, and then they're bracketed just before the peak. And then, you know, they go up from there. And they're still a little, you know, they're not as rigid as you'd think. I got a folded dipole on mine, and, you know, it'll pull it, you know, one way or the other. And it's pretty symmetrical, too, so, you know, I got to really monkey with it so that there's no pulling it one way or the other. You know, the wire itself ends up working kind of as a guy to some degree, but they're not as rigid as you'd think. And if you want that, if you want, you know, a good rigid support that doesn't give a little bit, it doesn't necessarily need support, you're looking at maybe getting a couple of sections of Rhone 25, and, you know, in a base, and then digging the hole and all that. Then you could put, you know, 20-foot mast out of the top of that, and that's how you're going to get freestanding and up tall enough, but probably not going to do it with these masts freestanding. I'm sure you're not going to do it freestanding. You got to have something to support them.
Yeah, I thought so. I figured anything that tall and skinny is going to wobble and move all over the place. So I got to figure out what the hell I'm going to do. I was even considering cutting that wire down to a 10 to 40 meter inside half wave, but then I can't do the local stuff. And when when everything gets crappy, I would like to have 80 so we can all hang out over there. So I don't know. It's really it drives me nuts that I took the time to run the wire throughout the coax throughout the house and then terminate it. You know, I have a nice junction box on the inside and outside, and then I have nowhere to run my damn wire to. So I got to figure that part out.
Yep. Yeah, you're looking at, when you got a situation like that, figure if you can't guy it, you're looking at more of a tower than you are a mast. You're not going to really find a mast unless you guy it. But if you get some tower sections, you can get those up 20, 30. I've seen Roan 25 freestanding up to 40 foot with a good base. That'll freestand up to about 40. And if you're only using it as wire supports, then you could do that. But that'll get you up to the magic number 40. But that's a significantly, more work, and it doesn't disappear into the background. Well, neither does my mast, but, 40-foot tower doesn't either. So, you can put them anywhere. So you can put those at the edge of the property where they're not. So start thinking like loop or something like that. There's a lot of things you can do. Maybe I'll put one here, now, and then maybe later I'll put another one over there, and then I'll have the, 2 points for a decent loop, who knows. But that's a little bit of a thing. I wonder if Anthony's out here this morning. I know he said he was flying out, I think, last weekend. I don't know how long he's gone for, though. Yeah, I think what I'm going to end up doing is just getting a more affordable vertical amount on the house for the time being, and then, throw some radios on the roof or tie it to my gutters or something to get me by until the yard's done, and then I'll figure out a more permanent, good solution. I am not opposed to one of those Roan 25 towers. That would honestly be ideal. But I don't know, if I went that far, I don't know that I would want to use a wire anymore, but I guess at that point, if the wire is working, why change it? So I'm going to go inside. I'm going to go on DXE and see what I can find. But I am here. I'm going to go inside and get to work and do some shopping. And then today's an early day, so maybe I'll catch you on my drive home. NADDF, I will be clear of yours. All right, well, let me just, finish by saying, vertical work, it'll get you on the air. And if your situation dictates that's what you can get, then by God, do it, And, just be advised, they want radials. There are some that claim you don't need any radials or counterpoise, but, you get what you get, with those. There's a lot of guys having a lot of fun just with something strung in their attic, right? So, you're gonna be better than that. I would not shy away from it. I'm just saying, in my experience, the wire is the way to go if you can do it. I ran a butternut HF60 vertical for a long time when I first got into the hobby, and I was quite happy with it. But don't take what I say as I don't get a vertical. There's plenty of reason to get one. But just be advised, they're not a compromise necessarily. They're a little different than a wire, and particularly as far as the kind of operation we like to do. All right, anyhow, good luck, and we'll talk more. W8FU.
Dr. Don, you should say about verticals.
Tell me, do tell, I don't recall.
They radiate equally as poor in all directions.
Yeah, I don't know that that's the deal. You guys out in the sticks that don't have to deal with the extra noise that a vertical brings in the game, and if you can get some radials down, they're pretty. They can get pretty good low angle. If you get that low angle stuff going on, then now you're talking good DX antenna. But is that what you're looking for, right? A lot of guys want to put up a wire on 80 because they want to do that cloud burner stuff. And you're going to be frustrated. You'll have this big fancy vertical and everybody's talking, in the area here. And you're odd man out. And it's like, you got to decide what you want to do with it. But a vertical can be very effective for if you get the ground radios out there, you get this thing, you know, efficient, playing efficiently, you get a decent one, you know, like one of these ones that's, you know, not a terrible compromise. You know, these trap verticals and stuff, they're just, you know, gimmicky. They're not gimmicky, they work, but, you know, there are compromises all over the place, bandwidth, everything. But you have one of these Titan, you know, Gap Titans or the 05 or whatever they're called, these really good ones, and get a good radio system down. Yeah, you know what, you know, you could be a champ in Europe and stuff, so who knows?
I've never played with a vertical. I've only ever had that wire. That wire is just, it's never played nice on 40 meters. I don't know if it's the wire or power supply or what, but it never likes 40 meters, and my current setup, it doesn't like 80 meters either, so I don't know if, might have to adjust the length of my wire, but I do know somebody that's got a vertical for sale.
Well, another thing you can try, it's real easy, is try increasing your coax length. Usually if you're having some problems like that, if you're not perfectly resonant or you don't have perfect match and, you know, a little bit of your crap coming back down the line, giving you trouble, and if you just alter your coax length, you know, throw an extra 20, 30 foot in there, and that may tame it on 40 for you. You never know. I mean, if you got a chunk of coax laying around, you can throw into the length, it's worth trying. You know, and then there's other things you can do beyond that, like chokes you can wind around coffee cans and stuff, but just the simple thing is just change the length, right, to see if that maybe helps. What vertical do you have?
I don't have the vertical, Tim, WMAA. He's got a, what is it, a Cushcraft R8 or something like that? I don't know. It's a big and heavy. And to help him take it down.
Hold on, let me, pull up here to the window and pay for my cafe. I'll be right back.
I figured that's what was going on. See, he'd be like,
the gal's name at the window is Cam.
Ask her for any feedback.
I ain't seen my little buddy Cam in a while. I can get a project going on down here.
Just saw him a little over a week ago. I had to do a relay between the Cam nut and the event channel to get him to get his tow truck to save a guy.
I was just chatting with Cam. She's cuter than cuter, and not that Cam's not cute, you know, but just she's cuter, definitely.
Yeah, that wire I got, I've tried all different lengths of coax and isolators and chokes and whatever, and I don't know if it just probably could be the slick mode power supply just doesn't like it. And overvolts it and shuts it down. So I can run 40 if I keep the power down, and so I can easily do FT8 on it. Once you hit that point, it just shuts everything off.
Well, and again, like I said, I've had similar trouble on 40, and I know that, you know, one length of coax, no, bad city, another length of coax, no problem. So, you know, it's it can be persnickety. But you said you've tried some things, so. You know, the other thing, too, is, you know, have you swept it, or do you just, you know, check the SWR to figure out where the dip is? Where's the dip on it?
I remember, right, the SWR is good on 40. It's, it's a random length, so it's, you know, never really the best, but I think probably not more than 2-1 or whatever, but I just don't know if it's something, you know, you hit the same residence as the power supply because the switch mode or what. I have run out of battery just fine, but it's not really hitting the SWR meter on the battery, but just we'll pop the power supply. One thing somebody suggested is grounding the coax before it comes in the house, so it's probably next on the list.
Well, it's a random wire, so I don't know how, how much latitude you got or how much it'll affect it. I know on a resonant intent wire, you could try just changing the length a little bit, maybe it's not symmetrical or... But, that all bets are off on a random wire. It's a different kettle of fish. I know there's a range that you have to stay. It's got to be not cut specifically for any band. And there's, like, little ranges. It can be between this and this, and then it's got to be, then you got to jump to between this and this, and, it'll do usually everything under its length. But, so I don't know if there's maybe a, a length you can try dialing in. Not enough experience with those really to really say. So, all right, what the hell is he parked there for? God almighty! Not what he's doing that. Knows that I like that parking space. Goes there deliberately.
Yeah, I know the different lengths there, and it should be. I know it's hard to tell when you got a 25-foot tape measure and 150-foot wire. So, I think that might be what happened to my 80. I might be a little long on that, or the other way around, but never, not really sure. But yeah, it's never played nice on 40.
Well, we'll have to pick this up another time. I just pulled up to the shop, so I'm going to get inside and figure out what's cooking. And I'm sure there's a way to fix your problem, but you got to figure out what it is. So we ain't fixed it here today. After your W8FU.
It's probably a matter of too cheap to do something too. Go in there and correct that whip. 7-3 is the 88-1.
What are you crabbing about? Oh, you're over there.
Where that Collins at?
Delta India Zulu monitoring.
W8FU. Here, get some pie, a couple slabs of pizza, and I'll be back. W8EAB. Dang it, now I'm stuck here in the pizza place. Can't get out. Darn it. Problem is, all these plants let out at 2 o'clock and they're all lined up at the light. They're lined up for about 200 yards from the light, and I'm blocked. I gotta take a different exit here, see if I can get out.
I thought it was that pizza place at the end of your street.
Yeah, Lisa Torres. Back at work, had to run in, so I'll talk to you a little bit later. W8EAP. Foxtrot 8 Delta Charlie Zulu, monitoring. WATBT. Heard somebody key up twice, but no audio.
AFACLN.
That ain't sick, AF.
Sorry, I'm doing something with you.
Just plug my mobile into my power supply at the office with a extremely marginal antenna, and but I seem to be by all outward appearances making the system.
Gotcha. Sorry, gotcha.
Good. Well, good. Glad it's working. So thank you very much for your help, Penny. Take care.
Okay.
It lives. Rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. On your way home from work, I presume?
Actually from downtown Detroit today, so heading up to Lodge near the Davison, or Livernois or something, Linwood, whatever.
Look at you go. What's got you down there today?
I don't believe it or not, actually our company came yesterday, so lots of good stuff. Meetings and stuff like that today, and like racing race tomorrow.
Okay, a little snap, crackle, poppy there. I didn't quite catch it all. Your company tomorrow, and not 100% sure I caught it all. Could have been partially me, but you're a little in and out still.
Okay, yeah, I was still doing the low power thing. I said company convention, lots of good sessions and stuff, and rinse repeat tomorrow also. I bumped it up to high power.
Yep, no problem, 100%. But, okay, yeah, so, yep, that's a good thing. Every now and again, you gotta have the beating of the minds, the sharing of information, call that the breaking of bread. Good deal.
It was actually really good. I missed our convention last year. We were cruising. And so I wanted to be sure that I got here today. And it was very good. So sometimes it's, you know, all rah, 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 kumbaya, nothing useful, and this was the opposite. It's like, well, this is all great stuff. Glad I came and wish I took better notes. Anyway, what's happening on your end?
Oh, I had a pretty busy day, and then, but I got done, I got home early. Didn't get done, but busy boy. This morning had a little lull right when I got in, and then it just started about 9 o'clock. And just I could hardly hang up the phone, and another phone call was waiting. Just kind of on and on, and finished up doing a field trip to a future site of some work, and then went home and finished up some paperwork on encapsulating the whole day and all that. So now I'm just kicked back here, watching the deer out in the backyard and eating my naughty blueberry muffin that I brought home from Tim Hortons. So, fairly anticlimactic. A good thing on the convention, go prepared tomorrow, bring your notepad or your dictaphone, whatever means you use. You know, I find if you got your phone with you, generally, I in a pinch, I've taken notes many a time on that. It's not quite as easy as paper and pencil, but it does work in a pinch. And if you can learn to dictate, it's very effective. But you got to find a program that works well doing that.
Yeah, I did. I was able to take some notes and basically send myself a few emails. I'm like, all right, let me jot this stuff down and organize it. And some of the presenters, you know, you scan their QR code and you get all their, you know, you get their slides and their, you know, you're on their email drip until you have to unsubscribe. But that's fine. I've been there, done that. So good. Blueberry muffins. Careful, that's gonna spike ya.
Yes, I know, but I consider it a compromise because I didn't get the fruit explosion that has all that jelly in it. So, you see, I made a concession. So, it's almost like negative calories, negative sugar.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You should have a donut in. You're ahead.
There you go. That's the philosophy. But, yeah, so, yeah, the other thing, too, is I got a convention coming up, and most of the time I don't carry paper and pencil anymore. Like you said, you can usually get the presentation. But also, one thing that I find works really good is if usually people have some sort of a big presentation up on the screen when they're talking, and the note that you'd want to take is usually on the screen, it's the point you want to, you know, they want to make, and the thing you're like, oh, man, and if nothing else, you know, it serves good. So I find I just grab my phone real quick, and I just take a snapshot of the screen. I've done that at many a convention, and just did some snapshots of the pertinent screens, because usually, you know, it's like, you know, you have a really good talk, and then it gets to the end, and they'll have, you know, the people's, you know, contact information, and or for further information or website addresses that were discussed. And, you know, so, you know, at the very end, you know, usually in the slide presentation, you know, a couple of judicious pictures and you get the bulk of the information. So the old smartphone is quite good at keeping us in the know. But, yeah, when there's a QR code that takes you to the info, then shoo-ee, you got it all, the best of both worlds. I got one that I go to, it's a quarterly meeting, it's rather significant, it's important, I've always got homework from it, there's a lot of subsequent meetings that lead up to it, and then I have to report on that meeting to other meetings, so it's like, it's tentacles are out all over, and you know, the problem I have with that one is they generally don't send the notes, the minutes from the last one out until very late, you know, almost before the next one. And it's like, man, I got a report on that one. So I either got to take the notes
or I'm a meeting behind, and it's quarterly, you know, because I got to wait on the minutes, and, you know, it's just like, it seems silly, you know, that I should have to take all these notes when minutes are coming, or forthcoming. You know, it's like, I don't know, well, you know, we got to take them, and then they got to get approved and all this stuff, and can you send me on the raw sheet, and I promise not to share them until the approved ones come out? So, I don't know, but you know what? If I didn't have that to bitch about, what would I bitch about?
Oh, the price of tea in China. I can complain about everyone in the lodge actually going the speed limit. What the heck, people? Nobody drives 55 on this thing. Yeah, lots of screenshots. You know, there's a lot of that. In the last session, I was way in the back, and so I didn't get very good screenshots, but close enough. I'll be back in a minute. I got to make a return phone call here. K8BB.
Okay, I'm going to go refill my Covfefe. I'll be within an earshot. W8FU.
Okay.
Well, that didn't seem like it took that long, so must have been easy.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you if you had gotten out and done any tweaking on your fan dipole.
I thought about it really hard. That's about as good as I got.
Yeah, it's probably good for something.
Yes, it is. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you've looked in on the Telegram, but Don is trying to learn CW, and he bought a CPO, but he didn't buy an iambic, which is what he wants. He wants to. He wants a iambic here that he can use as like a code practice oscillator, something small, compact, battery, and a speaker all built in would be ideal. I can't think of anything right offhand. I had one of those old Heathkit keyers with the capacitive paddles. I love that thing. I've still got it around here somewhere. I'm going to dig around for it, but I was just thinking if anybody might know of something that fits that bill, possibly you. But anyhow, he's looking. He might have even ordered something by now and got it on the way. Knowing him, he doesn't sit tight. But he got a code practice oscillator in the mail today, and he cracked it out, and he goes, "How come I'm only hearing something on the one panel and it's just a da?" And I went, "It's a do."
Oh, he got, okay, so he's trying to hook an iambic paddle up to a code practice oscillator without the actual keyer device. I might have an extra keyer. I will look in the back.
All right, well, when you get home and settled and got your beverage de jour, you know, look in on the conversation. He may already have something on the way. I know him. He doesn't sit idle for long.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I'll look in it. I haven't checked that lately. Or if I did, I didn't see anything. But yeah, it sounds like me. If I get an idea in my head, if I can't solve it in the next 3 hours, Jeff Bezos is delivering something to me the next day.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that might be where this is going. Yeah, there's a whole new subtopic in the forum. It's just called CW or something. I forget what it's called. But CW Talk. Yeah, so there's a whole new channel there. So it's going to be all about CW.
Well, I don't know much about that, so I'll have to go and look and learn.
Oh, Don, you can do it. Just put your mind to it. Anywho, I imagine you're going to run lodge up straight to Telegraph, right, and run Telegraph straight on up. That's probably your, yeah, of course, that would be your course of action. That wouldn't be a bad rip. I just don't know about this time of day.
Well, funny you should mention, because I'm on Telegraph, and I'm just coming up to Maple, and it's fine. It is. That is a straight shot. I can get from Hart Plaza to my house in about 30 minutes that way. But it's, you know, it's 524, so there's all these other cars around.
That's right. It would be smooth sailing, except other people are trying to sail the salty sea, so, well. But, yeah, that sounds, I don't think there's any construction there anymore. That was a nightmare a couple years back, but, or maybe just a year ago. It wasn't long ago. That was all jacked right in there, but I think it's all clean and green now, right?
Mostly, yes. Telegraph is okay. Lodge is okay. The issue was the 696 work that was going through there, and there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, Telegraph, south of 696, they did the, like down to 8 Mile and then south of 8 Mile. Telegraph is a disaster right now. Although I think they're getting it finished up. But they put in one of those crossover connectors that is Telegraph under 8 Mile, and it makes sense. I'm probably in the minority, but there's crossovers. You know, they serve a good purpose, but of course it's different, and so everyone's all up in arms about it. But yeah, down there is still a mess. But in this area, it's fine. And yes, very salty out here. Very very salty.
Yeah, and I think we got about a couple of weeks here, beginning of next month. I think they're shutting down eastbound, so that's going to be a wreck. So I got to go to Muskegon that week. I'm not sure if they're shutting down before or after, but I'll have to find out. If they're shutting down, I'll probably run 69 in the Flint and come down 75, or make the 59 split at Howell in the Pontiac, but try to avoid that like the plague. I'll have to look at the dates, because I think it coincides with when I've got to go to Muskegon. I got to go out that way a lot, so I'm going to have to, if I'm going to Plymouth or out that way, I'll just have to drop down to Davison to 96, and if I'm going to Lansing, I don't know what I'll do. Lansing will be, I can do that come north and shoot 59 thing. I don't know, though. Well, actually, going out should be fine. It's coming back. I'll have to decide. I guess I could drop down when I get over to M5, run that all the way down to 8, and run 8 across. Stop at Louis Pizza. Yum, yum.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be 676 both directions, basically from about Telegraph to 75, more or less. It's going to be horrible. And my suspicion is that the other significant arteries in the same direction, you know, 8 Mile in particular, 12 Mile, any of the mile roads for several miles there, that's going to take the brunt of the traffic, and there's going to be projects there too. They did that several years ago, and 696 between 75 and 94 had a bunch of work, and 8 Mile Road at the same time in the same location also had work. And so you had both of those major east-west arteries that were compromised at the same time. Oh, it was hideous. So I just hope they don't make the same mistake again.
Ouch, I did not hear both directions. I thought it was only eastbound. So that's, wow, that's an oucher. And, that's true. That's a good point. If all those alternate routes get all, you know, they're bad enough. If they get all boogered up because of this, then they're not going to be much better.
I might just be, Lansing might just be a 69 to Flint and 75 home. That might be a, Flint might be, I guess there'll be lots of stopping to see Fred.
Yeah, I guess I don't know the specifics of it, if it's east or west. My understanding was that they were going to do both sides, and so it's going to be a, you know, they've got to close one direction in order to put both directions on the other side so that they can get, you know, two lanes one way and two lanes the other way or whatever it is they're going to do. And so that part I don't know yet. But it's right at ground zero where my office is, so I ought to pay attention to that soon.
Yeah, you'll be getting intimate with Woodward if you don't already. But that'll be your solution, I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, Woodward and Telegraph both work well going north south. At least right now, there's no big issues. It's the east west thing. But they're fixing the damn roads. I guess I should not complain.
That's right. That's all we bellyached about. That's what the current governor ran on, and a lot of it's been getting done. So you can't really complain. We asked for it. We got it. Toyota.
Yeah. Well, I've been making great time in spite of everybody else. So I'm about a mile from home. I'm gonna sign out and get inside and pour a glass du jour. Thank you for the suggestion. All right, we'll catch you later. WAFU-KABB.
Remember to change into your satin jammies and your smoking jacket. And yes, pour yourself something interesting. Think it over. Put your hand on your chin and go, what shall I try today? And be interesting. All right, look forward to your choice. I may do the same, but I may have to run out for that interesting thing. All right, talk to you in a bit. W8FU.
Yeah, baby, well, monitoring. since April of last year.
Okay, because I had a question from, let's just say, a client of mine. He's actually a customer, or the point of contact for this one location that I service, and he's moving on from the company. But they have a radio system, a VHF frequency, and the company is the licensee, but he is the contact person. And he says, I'll I could transfer it over to you if you want. I'm like, I don't think he could do that. I said, because since the licensee is the company, and they use that VHF frequency at another site. So what I recommended he need to do was to have his name removed from the FCC paperwork and designated as somebody else as the contact person. I just want to make sure I steered him in the right direction.
Well, I'm not qualified to give out legal advice, but what I would say is individuals have call signs and businesses have call signs on business frequencies, so if it's a business to business, they can transfer it. An individual cannot transfer. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what to tell you there.
I wasn't looking for legal advice, but I believe I pointed him in the right direction. Like I said, because his name is on the paperwork. He said, should I just leave it there? I said, no, since you're leaving the company, and the company owns that call sign or that license for that frequency, it's best to transfer it over. Hold on one second, I think I'm getting a phone call.
Well, I mean, to get a business frequency, you got to apply and as a business and get your frequency for that. I'm sure Sean can attest to that, but I'm no expert. But the business things are separate, and the individuals are separate. So if it was an individual call sign, like you or I, KJO, KFADYL. Myself have a call sign, they're not allowed to transfer it. But a business is allowed, but it has to be registered under a business frequency. As far as I'm aware, anyway. KFADYL. Well, I think I lost Cujo there. This is KFADYL monitoring. KFADYL monitoring.
Here is KFAMT portable. N1KRD.
Hello? Does anybody use 443?
What?
35 watts. You out there?